We've heard the warnings on gender inequality, but has anything changed?
We've made very little progress over the last 5 years.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Later, we'll have an update on the big tax bill facing Amazon in Europe. First, we know from mountains of data that girls tend to do better than boys in education, but not in employment or earnings. A report released this past hour from the OECD on gender equality says little has changed, even though some countries are taking steps to close the gap. William Adema is author of the report.
You would have expected, in view of some of the policy changes made by some countries, to see some bigger progress.
Even in countries like Germany, Norway, and Israel, where there are compulsory quotas for women on boards of state and publicly owned companies, your report finds that it's not trickling down.
It is very hard to order from the top to say, listen, you have to have 30% of women on the board of your publicly listed company. It is very hard to then immediately see that the gap between the work floor and the top level is filled. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quota. The UK has a much more voluntary approach and has about 25% of women on boards.
How do you even sell the idea of targets and quotas? I mean, don't they undermine, even taint women as a whole, because people can say, well, you're just there because there's a quota?
I don't think so. On the whole, companies with a diverse setup do well. There is a business case for that. If you have a lot of women among your clients, there's a good case for having a lot of women in your decision-making structure. So from that perspective, I think there's a clear economic case to increase diversity at the top.
The OECD's William Adema. Let's do the numbers. European markets are mixed, with Spain's IBEX plunging more than 200 points or 2% after the Spanish king spoke out against a disputed independence referendum in Catalonia. In Asia, markets are continuing their march upward this week. China's Hang Seng closed up 206 points or 0.73%. Some insight now on why the Central African country Chad was included in the latest U.S. travel ban. The BBC's Alex Duval-Smith explains.
When President Donald Trump decided to include Chad alongside Iran, Libya, North Korea, Somalia, Syria and Venezuela in his latest travel ban, it led to a lot of head-scratching. Chad, which is located in Central Africa, just south of Libya, is the odd one out on that list. It's a majority Muslim country, but it's not generally considered a danger to the US. In fact, Chad's president, Idris Deby, is criticised at home for fighting other people's battles at the expense of the welfare of his people. But the firing of a key minister might offer a clue as to why the country was included. Chad's aviation minister, Mustafa Abakar, lost his job after reports that an aircraft licensed to a Chadian airline, Air Inter One, had illegally carried arms to Syria. Specialist media said the plane, an Airbus 340, flew to Iran, was given a new registration number, and was repainted in the colour of Syrian Arab Airlines. So the question everyone's asking in Chad is whether the US travel ban is actually the US punishing Chad for allowing its planes to re-register and carry arms to Syria. In Dakar, I'm the BBC's Alex Duval-Smith for Marketplace.
Another report out just this morning, this time from the World Bank, which says economies in the Asia-Pacific region are projected to grow faster than expected, and those living in extreme poverty on less than $2 a day has declined further. So what's the bad news? Chinese debt. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains.
Chinese debt has been growing, and the Chinese government consistently says that this is something that they can handle, even at levels like close to 300% of GDP. But in this World Bank report, the fact that Chinese household debt, private debt, public sector debt have all been growing has become an issue of real concern. The bank points out that because a lot of this debt, a substantial amount, they say, is actually in the shadow banking sector, it's very difficult to assess, it's very difficult to supervise, and in fact it is unregulated, and that really leaves the Chinese economy open to a lot of vulnerabilities.
What are we talking about when we talk about shadow banks?
It's a mysterious sounding name, but effectively it's banking and financial operations that operate in the shadows. They're off the books and they're a way for investors to make money quite quickly. They're high returns, but they're also very risky.
Now there's another concern, a geopolitical one, this time North Korea.
You often hear institutions like this comment about financial risks, economic risks, but this time it's pointed to the fact that geopolitical risks in the Korean Peninsula could really take the shine off this rosy outlook and, you know, lists a number of things that could be affected, primarily trade, because East Asia is so central to global shipping and manufacturing. If people start getting nervous about a conflict in the Korean Peninsula, investors might start pulling their money out of these countries, which would then lead to central banks raising interest rates, and that could have an impact on growth. So not a pretty picture.
Karishma Vaswani in Singapore. Finally, EU regulators just announced that Amazon must pay nearly $300 million in back taxes. In 2003, the company struck a creative tax deal with the state of Luxembourg, which the regulator says constitutes state aid. And the European Commission also say they'll take Ireland to court over its failure to collect $15 billion in back taxes from Apple. Apple is still appealing. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.